ready? You ready?
Good, good. All right. I'm Tim. I'm the campus pastor at our Bearden campus. And so I'm glad to be here with you guys in live at Harrison Lane and, of course, down the hall in Blend and Amped and out at Roane County and especially out at Bearden. So I'm sorry I can't be with you guys there, but with you from here. Love the Bearden campus, love our people there. And we've got, as maybe you know, we got a new home, still kind of a new home to us in the old Homburg Theater down there. So come visit us sometime. It's a good place, as they know. So come visit us down at Bearden. I got to tell you, I just sort of a random fact about me. I went backpacking with llamas once. Maybe somebody else has done that. I went backpacking with llamas. And you can scoff at that if you want, say that's kind of taking the easy way out. I certainly would have 10 years ago. I would have been like, come on. The point of backpacking is the backpack where you put everything in there and then you haul whatever you need to wherever you're going. But it's better with llamas, I'm telling you. Because you just, like, the way we did it is you carry all your stuff. But there was a whole group of guys. All the group stuff, all the cooking stuff, all the food, the tents, all those things, those go on the llamas. And they don't seem to mind it all that much. And so the llamas carry the stuff. It makes your pack lighter. You can go further. You can go steeper. It opens up all these possibilities to you. And it's not as expensive as I thought it would be because the llamas normally are, like, the reason they're out there, this is out in Colorado, out in the Rockies, the reason they're there is primarily for elk hunters. I guess it's hard to carry a whole elk out of the woods if you shoot one. And so they take the llamas up with them, and the llamas help carry it out. Well, when it's not elk hunting season, the llamas are just hanging out. And so they were ready to rent them out for us to go backpacking with llamas. But we needed a guide with us because I had never spent much time with llamas before. And so we had a couple guides with us, actually. The guy who was leading the trip, his name was Chuck Chickowitz, okay? His name's Chuck Chickowitz. You know he's going to be awesome at whatever he does. And he's just an awesome mountain man. And I just looked up to the guy so much the whole time. One of the things about the way Chuck led that trip is he never told us very far in advance what was coming. Like, he didn't tell us where we were camping that night. He didn't tell us how far we had to go. He didn't tell us what we were doing the next day. And it felt like he kind of kept us in the dark a lot. Now, I have a few friends who have worked as wilderness guides in one form or another for a summer or for a year or something like that. And they always did it in a setting of, like, leadership development with high school students or college students. And they did the same thing. Don't tell them what's coming up next. You don't tell them. They don't need to know the schedule. They don't need to know where we're going. You don't tell them anything like that. I always thought it was because it's going to stretch them. It's a really good leadership development principle. So they won't know what's going on, and so they'll become better leaders and more self-reliant, and they won't lean on you too much or whatever. I thought it was all about leadership development. What I discovered from Chuck Chickowitz is that it's actually just the best way to lead people. The best way to guide them, if you're going to be a guide in the mountains, the best way to do it is to just give them what they need right then, and then when they need some more information, you give it to them later. I'll tell you more about why I discovered that in a little bit, but that's kind of what Jesus is saying is going to happen in this passage we're in today. He's talking about how he's going to, like a mountain guide, guide his disciples along the way after he's gone. We're in this series called Connected, The Art of Staying. We've been in this for a few weeks. We're going to be in a few more weeks. But it's called Connected because it's about connection. And kind of the theme that runs through this whole series is this understanding, this idea that we were made for connection with Jesus and with each other. We were designed for it. Like, we were created in such a way. We were made for connection with Jesus. We need to be connected to him and with each other. We need to be connected with each other. We've seen that all throughout this series as we've worked through this section of John's gospel. We've been going through that for a long time. We'll stick with it for a while still. And we're in this scene in the upper room where Jesus is talking with his disciples about their connection with him and their connection with each other. And last week, Mark Hoffman opened up John chapter 16. We're going to continue in that today. So as Mark started us there last week, kind of his big idea that came through was that the Holy Spirit continues his mission through us or through me. We say both. We say through me because it's through me as an individual, but we also say through us because it's through us as a people. It's both of those things. And Jesus was showing the disciples that it's actually to their advantage that he goes away, because his mission isn't going to stop. It's going to be continued by the Holy Spirit through us. He said, Jesus told them the helper will come. Remember this, if you heard last week's message, the helper will come and he'll convict the world. So he's still got work to do in the world. He's going to convict the world about sin and righteousness and judgment. And so this week, we're just going to continue in that same conversation and idea with Jesus and his disciples. And the thing that I think you'll see, that I want you to see today, is this. It's that the Holy Spirit continues to guide me, or to guide us, for mission. So the Holy Spirit isn't just going to come and convict. The Holy Spirit is going to come and guide, and he's going to guide us. He's going to guide me and you for a particular reason, for his mission. The Holy Spirit is continuing the mission of Jesus, and he's going to include us in this. He's going to guide us for that mission. So we're going to see the Holy Spirit is meant to be a guide coming alongside us as we walk with him and he works through us. So we're going to be in John chapter 16. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. So we'll start in verse 12. We're just looking at a few verses this week. John 16, verses 12 through 15. You're going to want to have it in front of you because it'll be on the screen now, but it won't be later, and we're just going to keep our eyes on this passage. So John 16, 12 to 15, still in the upper room, this long conversation Jesus has been having with his disciples on his last night with them before he's betrayed, arrested, and crucified. So verse 12, Jesus says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will come, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." So, one reminder as we start to look at this passage. I think we've talked about this a few times before. These are words that Jesus spoke to particular people in a particular place, okay? So these words were said to them. They were not said to us. These words weren't written to us, but they were written for us. So we can learn from them. There are principles and truths that we can that are meant for us, but these specific words and instructions, I mean, these are given to some specific people. And so we don't want to just insert ourselves into the story and go, okay, what he's saying here, he's saying to me, and so all these things that he's saying to these people are true for me. That's not necessarily true. So, like in verse 12, in that first verse there, he says, "I've got many things to say to you." He's talking to specific people. He's saying, I still have many things to say to you. I've said a lot, but I have more to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So you people in the room that he's talking to, he's saying, I got things to say, but you can't bear them now. So specific people at a specific point in time he's speaking to, addressing their current situation. So what we're going to do is first let's talk about what he was saying to them, what it meant to them, and then we'll get to what it might mean for us, what he might be saying to us as we read this 2,000 years later. So let's start with them. First of all, these people have spent like probably 3+ years with Jesus. And they've really, like they've spent life with him in that time. It's not like they're just going to synagogue with him on Saturdays. They've spent those years with him, doing life with him, traveling with him, on the road with him, all the time there with Jesus. And somehow, in all of that, Jesus is saying he's said a lot to them, but he still has more to say. He said something similar back in chapter 14, verse 26, where he said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." But there he was saying, the Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to remind you of the stuff that I've already said. Here he's saying something different. Here he's saying, the Holy Spirit is going to come, and he's going to tell you the things that I haven't even told you yet. That there's stuff that I have intentionally held back. There's lots more to say, and I haven't told you yet. And why hasn't he done that? He says it's because you can't bear them yet. You can't handle these things that I have to say. You can't bear them now. And we don't know exactly why they couldn't bear it. Maybe it was just too much input. If you look back at this passage, Jesus has been talking for a long time in the upper room, all the way back from when he washed their feet and said, okay, you're going to do what I've done. All the way since then, he's just been talking in this upper room. So maybe it's just too much input. That might be part of it. Or it might be like a sort of a sequential learning thing. Like other things need to happen before they can understand everything that he has to say to them. We have a toddler at home. He's got one of those little Power Wheels Jeeps he drives around the yard. He's still learning to steer that thing, okay? We're not going to start talking to him about parallel parking yet. You know, like, learn not to run into your sisters. Then we can work on some of the finer skills. You know, you got to learn those things in order. The crucifixion hasn't happened yet. The resurrection hasn't happened yet. I mean, Jesus has tried to give his disciples an idea that these things are to come, but they don't get it yet. So, like, there's this sense that these are life-changing, perspective-altering, world-changing things that are going to happen. There are things about who they will become, what they will do, what they will go through, what they will see, that they can't hear until they have seen God's love for them on the cross and his power in the resurrection. Like, it just isn't going to make sense for them. But there's probably also an emotional piece to it, too, that, like, they just couldn't, like, just where they were in that moment, they couldn't handle all of the other things that Jesus needs to reveal to them. And so he's holding back. He's holding back, and he says, don't worry, though. The Spirit is going to come, and he calls him the Spirit of Truth. He's going to tell the disciples. He's going to guide them into all truth. He says he's going to declare to them the things that are to come. So Jesus is highlighting what he's giving to them, but also what he's doing through them. And that's just the way God works. He gives to us, and he works through us. It just doesn't end with us. And so that's what's happening with the disciples. There's like this personal side to it and a missional side. On the personal side, he's comforting them. In verse 6, it says he can tell their hearts are filled with sorrow because they know their rabbi, their teacher, is going away. That's all they know. They don't understand it, but they know he's going away and their hearts are filled with sorrow. And so he's comforting them. He's saying, yeah, I'm going away, but this thing we've been doing together, it's not over. My Spirit is going to, it's to your advantage. And so he's showing them how it's going to be to their advantage, that they're going to continue to learn from Jesus by the Holy Spirit. They're going to stay connected to the Father through the Son, through the Spirit. That's the order that Jesus lays out to them there. The Spirit isn't doing his own thing. He's speaking what Jesus wants, and Jesus isn't doing his own thing. He's showing what the Father has said. So they're continuing to be connected to the Father. So he's comforting them, but he's also working through them. Because remember, he said, when you abide, if you abide in me, if you remain in me, you'll produce fruit. So he knows these guys are meant to continue to produce fruit. The mission is being continued. And so they are going to need more from Jesus because they're going to do some very important things. The people in that room, them specifically. Before Jesus ascends to heaven, he tells them, you will be my witnesses. You're going to be my witnesses. I'm going away, so you'll be the witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, to the very ends of the earth. You're going to be the ones who are going to take this thing out from there. And they did. They told somebody who told somebody who told somebody who told somebody, and we ended up in this room here today. That's how we got here. They followed through. They did what Jesus called them to do. And they needed more from him. They couldn't do it on their own. He needed to continue to teach them along the way as they did that. There was still more to reveal. Some of the guys in that room wrote the very words of Scripture, of the New Testament. And some oversaw writing of the Gospels. So they needed to know more. And so Jesus was saying, my Spirit is going to come. He's going to show you the things that are to come. John, you're going to receive a revelation, a vision of what's to come, of the end of all things, so you can write those words down so that thousands of years later, people like us can know how the story ends. They needed the Spirit to come and continue to guide them. And that was for them, not for us. They wrote the words of Scripture. We don't write the words of Scripture. They were the first witnesses to the truth of Jesus, not us. So they needed a kind of guidance, I think, that is different than the kind of guidance from the Spirit that we need in some sense. They needed something that just they had not received before, so they could do what they were called to do. But Jesus' words here are for us too, because we know that the Holy Spirit, that Jesus sent his Spirit to fill all of his people, not just the ones who were sitting in that room. And so that Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And he is going to guide us into truth, just as he says here. He is going to declare to us the words of Jesus, the words of the Father. He's going to declare those things to us. That's who the Spirit is. That's what he does. And that's good news because we need it. Apart from that, we just don't grasp, we don't understand the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned." The natural person, as opposed to the person who is led by the Spirit, in Romans 8, Paul talks about it that way, whether we are people of the flesh or of the Spirit. The natural person, the person of the flesh, doesn't accept the things of God. It's foolishness, it's folly to them, because those things have to be spiritually discerned. We need the Spirit to do that. Elsewhere in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes that God has revealed to us through the Spirit things that were prepared for those who love him. Things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, or the heart of man imagined. Those are the kinds of things that God has revealed by his Spirit to his people, the depths of God. He uses the language of a veil, that when someone comes to Christ, it's like a veil was before their eyes, and then that veil is removed. Have you ever experienced that before? Like, have you experienced, you read something in Scripture, or you ponder the reality of God's love for us, or you sing a song and you're like just in your core blown away by who God is and what he's done. And someone who you know, who doesn't know God, reads those very same words, hears the same song, like, and it doesn't seem, it's just flatline. It doesn't seem to do anything in them. It's not just that your minds are functioning differently. It's not just that you have a different perspective and a different logic or something. It's that there's something different in your heart, in your spirit, and God has awakened you to the truth of who he is. That's the way that Paul says the Spirit works in us. So if that's the way the Spirit works, if he's removing veils, if he's shining a light into our hearts, what are these words, this truth of this guide who's come alongside us, the Spirit? What does that mean for us? Well, three things I want to highlight that I think it means for us. One is that you never have to read Scripture alone. You never have to read Scripture alone. You can, but you don't have to, and you shouldn't ever read Scripture alone, because the Spirit is there with us as we read Scripture. We need him to illuminate it for us, to shine a light on Scripture for us. Jesus did this before he sent the Spirit. He did it in person for his disciples. So are you familiar with the story from after Jesus' resurrection, the story of him on the road to Emmaus? You know, it's right after Jesus rose from the dead. His disciples have heard about him. Many of them haven't seen him yet. They've heard he's back, though, that he rose from the dead. There's some guys who are walking along the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and someone comes up alongside them. It's Jesus. They don't recognize him. He's like hidden himself from them. And he comes alongside them. They start to chit-chat about what's going on in Jerusalem. They're like, "You don't know what's going on in Jerusalem? It's a whole big thing." And so they're talking about Jesus and what's happened, how he's crucified, and they say he's risen from the dead. And they're walking along, and it says that he then walks them through the Scriptures, from the Old Testament, from Moses, all the way through the prophets, the whole Old Testament. So from the Old Testament law all the way through. And it says he interprets for them, that Jesus shows them how it's all about him, how all of the Old Testament was pointing to him and his coming. They didn't see it before, but he interpreted it for them. And then they're going along, and all of a sudden Jesus opens their eyes. They realize it's him, and he disappears. He's gone. So they turn around, they hightail it back to Jerusalem. These disciples, they go back to Jerusalem. They go back to that upper room. They meet with the disciples. They're like, they're telling them what's happening. We were on the road to Emmaus. This is what he did. He's telling us all this stuff. And while they're together, Jesus appears in their midst. He shows up in Jerusalem, in that room, and he's there with them. And it says that he does something very particular. In Luke 24, verse 45, it says, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And it's right in the middle of their conversation. It's like Jesus pauses and it says he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He needed to do something to open their minds so they could actually understand that the scriptures were more than just human words. And now we have his spirit living in each one of us to do the same thing. And so we never have to read the Bible. We never have to read scripture alone. His spirit, the same spirit who wrote those words. You know, the spirit wrote the Old Testament through human authors. He wrote the New Testament, just as we saw in this passage, through followers of Jesus. The spirit wrote those words through them. So that same spirit who composed scripture is now in us to help us understand it, to bring it to life for us. So we need the spirit as we engage with scripture. We need to depend on him as a guide to walk us through that. So this is kind of a thing that I've been thinking about. Maybe it's a little soapbox thing for me, but you know, do you know why we're called, some of you know, maybe not all of you know why we're Two Rivers Church, what the two rivers stand for. If you've gone through like our Wade In class, you've heard about this. But the two rivers are word and spirit. And so we say we want to be people who are led by God's word and led by his spirit. But sometimes the way I've talked about that is that we need to have those things in balance. Like, we don't want to go too far one way or the other and become lopsided. We want to have them in balance, word and spirit in balance, or to hold those two things in tension. I think that's way off. I think that's the opposite of what's true. When I've said it that way, I've been totally wrong. What we need is both pedals all the way to the floor, full all the way word, all the way spirit, because that's the picture we have in Scripture, is that we need God's word completely. We need to understand it. We need to believe it. We need to know it. We need to spend time in it, and we need to depend on it. But we will not do that right unless we are fully engaged with God's Spirit as our guide to lead us through it and saying, God, what do you want to show me in this? God, what does this mean? God, reveal the truth beyond my logic and my understanding. Show me what you're really saying here. And if we're just saying, God, speak to me, but we're not engaging with his word, we're missing out on what the Spirit has said through the word. We need both word and spirit, full pedal to the metal all the way, all the time. You get what I'm saying? And so we don't read scripture alone. We should never read scripture alone. Instead, we need the Spirit to come alongside us like Chuck Chickowitz on the mountain to guide us as we go. The thing that was great about the way Chuck did it, there was a reason he didn't tell us everything, didn't reveal everything to us right at the beginning. Like he didn't say, hey, okay, on day one, we're gonna go up and we're gonna camp just above 11,000 feet above the tree line. One, I think that would have caused panic in a lot of us. Like, how cold is it going to be above the tree line, 11,000 feet? There's a lot of snow up there. We can see it. How steep is it going to be getting up there? What's that going to be? Like, that would have raised a lot of questions for us. We had other stuff to do still. We had to cross a couple of streams, and they were, you know, decently deep. It's one thing to try and cross a stream with a heavy backpack on your shoulders. It's another thing to do it while you're pulling a llama who may or may not want to go across the stream, you know? So Chuck didn't try and tell us about how to cross a stream with llamas before we left. Like, he waited when we got to the stream. He was like, okay, here's how you're going to do it. Here's how you're going to cross the stream while pulling a llama. And if he lays down, this is what you should do, you know? Like, he gave us what we needed to know. Then when we got to the other side of the stream, then we could start to talk about, okay, well, we're going up here. He didn't tell us 11,000 feet. I didn't know that till after the trip, you know? But he guided. So I thought this is just about leadership development. No. It actually made us far better at accomplishing what we were doing because he didn't tell us everything. He guided us. He gave us what we needed when we needed it. And that's the way the Spirit is meant to guide us along the way. So we approach Scripture humbly, knowing I don't know it all yet. We approach Scripture prayerfully, saying, God, in this moment, would you reveal what you want me to hear now in this day that you made for me, for us? You created me and placed me in this moment in time. So what do I need today? God, reveal it to me as I study your scripture. Guide me into all truth. So we never have to read scripture alone. The second thing is this. We can know that God is still speaking. He's still speaking. He still has things to say to us. Look at verse 13. Look at the words that Jesus uses there. He says, he will guide, he will speak, he will declare. The Spirit will do things. He will continue to do things. He will continue to speak and declare and to guide us. God is still speaking even after Jesus is gone because God is still working then and now. And I'll be honest, sometimes some fear creeps in for me when I start to think about this and talk about it and even teach about it as I was preparing for this weekend. This fear that maybe comes from my past, my history, I don't know, that like someone will take that and go, okay, God's still speaking. And it says here that he has new things to say. And so they're going to take that and they're going to disregard everything that God has said before, and they're going to disregard scripture, and they're going to say, well, God told me this, so whatever God told me is true. Whatever I saw in scripture, whether anybody else has seen it or not, whether the words are there or not, God revealed it to me, so it's true. And I get this fear that people are just going to kind of run off the rails. Sorry, I don't have more trust in you. But you know, like I just get worried that if we start to say, well, God is still speaking, then he could say anything. Okay, but that should not lead me to go, okay, then God can't really still be speaking. I just have to trust with what he's said already and just assume that he's got nothing else to say. No, Jesus is saying that the Spirit is going to continue to speak and guide and declare, and so I should trust that, and I should just do it the way that Jesus says to do it and the way that's shown here. I mean, he shows that, hey, disciples, I've got more for you. You haven't heard it all yet, so there's more still to come. So if nothing else, that should put in us some humility. Okay, so I don't know it all yet. This is a process. God is revealing things to them. He's going to reveal things to us, and it's in a process. Just like as going up that mountain with Chuck Chickowitz, I was not an expert at the bottom. I wasn't an expert at the top either. But I there's got to be this humility that I don't know it all yet, and so I should be waiting to see what he has next for me. I should listen to the Spirit with humility. I should also do it with a sense of dependence on God. Look at that passage. Look at the way that Jesus talks about the relationships between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. He says, he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and will declare to you the things that are to come. He'll glorify me. He'll glorify the Son. He'll take what's mine and declare it to you. All the Father has is mine. There's this interdependency, even within the Trinity, even with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so for us, there should be an interdependency. There shouldn't be this, okay, God has spoken to me, so now I know, and nobody else knows. No, there should be this interdependency that God has modeled for us with himself, that we should go, okay, so this is what shared, okay, this is what I think God is saying to me in this passage. This is what I think he's saying, how I should apply this in my life today. This is where he's guiding me today and sharing that with other believers and going, what is he teaching you? Can you help me understand? Can you help me know whether this is from God or whether this is my idea? And at the end of the day, to use that test of, does it glorify Jesus? Because that's what he says. What the Spirit says, it's going to glorify Jesus. So does it glorify him or does it glorify me? So God is still speaking, and so we wanna listen humbly. We wanna listen with dependency on God and others, but we also wanna listen expectantly. Like we wanna expect, we should expect that he's going to be speaking to us, that he's gonna glorify Jesus by what he says. So we don't have to read scripture alone. We can know that. That God is still speaking. The third thing is this. The third implication for us in this is that don't count yourself out of the mission. Don't count yourself out of the mission. Remember, what Jesus is telling them is for them personally, but also for them missionally, for what he's going to do in them, but also what he's going to do through them. And the same thing is for us. God has given something to us so that he can do something through us. And so you should never count yourself out of the mission. The Holy Spirit is going to continue the mission of Jesus, and he's going to continue to guide us for mission. And listen, you got to hear this. You are not the exception to the rule. Don't miss that. You're not the exception to the rule. I know it's so easy to go, Jesus, the Holy Spirit's still continuing to do his work, but not through me. I don't know enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I haven't studied enough. I'm not committed of whatever. He gave you, it's the same Spirit that was in those guys in that room who we're here because they were obedient. They did what God called them to. They were goofballs like me and you, okay? They didn't count themselves out. Neither should we. Neither should you. Don't count yourself out of the mission. God gave you his Spirit, the same Spirit that we see in Scripture. It's his Spirit. He's not going to waste that resource on you. I'll give it to him, but they can't really be used by me. That's not it. Instead, he gave each one of us, he called each one of us, so the Great Commission, you know, this final statement before Jesus returns to heaven, and he says to his disciples, go into all the world, make disciples. He tells them, you're disciples, you're going to go make disciples. You're like little students, apprentices of me. You're going to go make apprentices of me. You're going to go out into all the world, and you're going to teach them how to obey all the commands that I've given you, and I will be with you to the very end of the age. Those guys weren't going to be around to the very end of the age. We're still going. He's still with us. He wasn't just talking to them because they weren't going to be around to the end of the age. He was talking to us too. And so he's giving that same mission to us. And he's saying, I'll be with you through my Spirit to the very end of the age. So don't count yourself out. You might count yourself out because you feel like you don't know enough. This has happened to me. Have you ever had like an aha moment? You're reading the Bible and you're like, oh man, you read the Bible sometime or you hear something in a sermon and you're like, wow, oh, I never thought of that before. Oh, that just blew my mind. And you go and share it with somebody else, you know, like for me with my spouse or with a friend or something like that. Somebody else is following Jesus. You share it with them and you're like, oh, listen, I never thought of this before. Do you realize? God, and they're like, yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's awesome. And they don't seem blown away by it because they had that aha moment 10 years before, you know, and you're like, I'm an idiot. I'm so slow. I'm so far behind. Have you ever had that experience or just me? I've had that experience before, okay? I'm like, I'm a pastor and I'm supposed to be teaching the Bible and there's stuff that I'm still like, oh, that's what that means? I never caught that before, you know? That's all right. Because Jesus said it's going to go that way. He said he's going to guide you. There's things you can't bear yet. You don't need them yet. You can't handle them yet. You're not ready for them yet. When you need them, he's going to make sure you see it. And he'll give you that aha moment. It'll hit you in the head and you'll go, oh, I never saw that before. And there's somebody who needs that excitement from you in that moment. Your friend who noticed it 20 years ago, they're kind of over it. It's not such a big deal to them. Like their excitement isn't, it's not there. Okay, that's okay. But your excitement, your understanding, what it's doing in you today is needed by someone. And so you share that with somebody, you know. You just start, they didn't seem that crazy about it. I'll share with somebody else what I'm learning. And God will use that in you. He's guiding you. He's teaching you along the way. So don't count yourself out just because you feel like you're slow to understand or you're just picking up on some really important things about God. The good news is, you're not Jesus, and you don't have to be. I'm not Jesus. I don't have to be, because he's not gone. So the world doesn't need you to be Jesus. They don't need me to be Jesus. He's here by his Spirit. We just have to obey. We just have to listen and obey as he guides us, as he comes alongside us like a mountain guide saying, here's where you go. Here's what I want you to do. How do we do that? What are some things we can do? Just a couple of next steps. One is, this week, you could just remember and then worship. If you remember, I think it'll lead you to worship. Just remember, when was a time the Spirit guided me into the truth? When was a time I experienced what Jesus is talking about here? When was a time he just shined a light into my heart and revealed a truth to me? When he opened my eyes to some truth, to the meaning of Scripture? He gave me some insight or wisdom or words for a particular situation. Have you ever had that experience? Remember that. Ask God to bring that to mind. And when he does, worship him for the truth that he is living in you and guiding you. Here's another thing you could do. You could open your Bible this week. That's the first thing. When we say you don't have to read scripture alone, sort of implied is, but you start by reading scripture. So open up your Bible. And if that's not a habit for you, okay, listen. I try and remind people all the time, like, if you're not one of those people who wakes up going, I just can't wait to spend time in the Word today, I'm not one of those people either. I wake up and I think, I just can't wait to make a cup of coffee and watch the news. You know, I'll read the Bible later, I'll get to it. But right now, coffee and the news is what I want. And so it takes effort. So even if it's not a habit for you, put in the effort, just say, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to open up my Bible. I'm going to spend some time in Scripture. And as I do that, I'm going to begin that with prayer. I'm just going to pray. And I'm going to ask God to do something, to reveal something, what he wants for me today, that he would speak to me in that moment. I'm going to pray with expectation, expecting that he's going to speak to me. And if I don't walk away going, whoa, you know, he blew my mind today. Okay, this might take some practice. So I'm going to come back tomorrow, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to open my Bible. And you could even pray back the words of Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. If you join us in this season of prayer this week, we're going to be praying through Ephesians 4, those first few verses there. So just go back right before that to these verses where Paul is praying for people, believers, not unbelievers, but believers, to have the strength in their heart just to comprehend how great God's love is. It takes prayer to even and the Spirit to understand that. So just pray that God would do that, that he would strengthen your heart, that you could understand how much he loves you, how much that he loves us. Because the Holy Spirit is continuing to guide us for mission. And so let's open our hearts and our minds to him, allow him to guide us, and see what he has created you for to do with him this week. So I'm going to invite the bands out in each of our venues on all our campuses. They're going to come out so that we can worship together. And I'll just remind you, this is not a final song so we know that the service is over. The reason we do this is because we want to take what God has been saying to us and doing in us during this time together. We're going to be sent out. We're going to live our whole lives as people guided by the Spirit. But we want to start that while we're still here together. We want to respond to him and worship him because of what he's doing in us, what he's going to do through us as we go out through those doors. So let's pray as we prepare to worship. Heavenly Father, God, thank you that you have given us your Spirit. That when Jesus left, you didn't leave us. That your Spirit, the same Spirit who put the scriptures together, who spoke to the hearts of those disciples, who revealed truth to them, that God, you're speaking to us and you're revealing truth to us. And that God, that you're continuing your mission and that you're not leaving us out of it, but you're guiding us into it. So God, we ask that you would take what you're doing to us and you would use it to work through us, God. That we would listen for your voice to speak, even while we're together today, and especially as we're apart, God, that we would listen for your voice, that we would be obedient to it, and we would follow wherever you lead us to glorify the name of Jesus because he is worthy. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.